Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. Let me introduce, it's our new friend, a human design hobbyist, Carrie.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So wait, you're in Colorado right now?
No, I live in Los Angeles, but I am going to school in Colorado. I'm going to school for something called quantum energetic structure therapy, or an easier way to say it is energy healing.
Oh, okay. Like Reiki? Is that part of it?
No, it's different from Reiki. It's like a very specific modality. It uses muscle testing and codes, and it hones in on the individual, and it's very catered to the individual. And we use something called muscle testing to get yes and no answers to know if there's energy disruptions in parts of the body. So then we keep asking the body these questions. Then we do corrective procedures if there's the disruptions.
What is it called? Quantum energetic?
Structured therapy, or QEST for short, Q-E-S-T.
That's a good acronym.
Yeah.
Let's broaden out a little bit. Like how into this world of, we say, contemporary mythologies, are you into, like, you know, the paranormal and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty deep into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite kind of like YouTube search?
I mean, I guess I've done like alchemy type of things, or I don't know. I definitely research a bunch of things, but I tend to get books lately.
So this it sounds like, sorry to cut you off, but it sounds like you're kind of like crystals and stuff. Are you more into like that sort
more
of like?
Yeah. Spirituality. Okay. Yeah, I do. Like crystals is on my radar. I haven't gone deep into that just yet, but definitely loving human design, astrology, gene keys, metaphysics, all the esoteric type of things, figuring out what's out there, what's in the universe.
Are you from LA originally?
No, I'm from the Chicago area.
Oh, you're a Bears fan?
If I was into sports, yes.
Cubs or Sox, though? I know you're not into sports, but Cubs or Sox?
Cubbies.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Does QEST deal with electromagnetic fields at all?
I mean, everything is energy. So it is based on the energy centers of the body. I don't necessarily say the electromagnetic field, but I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know the differentiation between that versus like just the energy body per se. But it's like, yeah, I mean, our whole bodies are made out of electricity. It's like the wiring in a house, right? Like we have those wires within our body.
Yeah.
When you do this QEST thing, the people who come to you, is it more physical problems or like mental problems?
It's all the above.
Okay.
So a lot of times people will come for physical. I mean, it seems to work really well for physical ailments. Of course, we don't promise that anything will actually work, but sure. You know, we have actually seen some really good results. One of which I could say, one of my classmates had back pain for like 25 years of her life. And she had done all sorts of treatments, acupuncture, like all the Western medicine, chiropractic stuff, x-rays. And they wanted to do exploratory surgery because nobody could figure out what was causing this back pain. And then she ended up having one long intensive QEST session. And all of a sudden her back pain disappeared. So it was pretty phenomenal. And then she was like, this is so amazing. I have to learn this. And so now she's in class.
What's the word for that thing that some people have and they never diagnose it, but they've given it a name. And it's just like when you're in pain and you don't know why. You know what I'm talking about?
Fibromyalgia?
Yeah, you do. Is that like something that I know that you're just a student, so you're not like practicing yet. But like, is that something that
Yes, it can address some of those things as well. And so really what it does is it actually breaks the brain into 13 different centers, and there's all these different codes within these centers. And so we go through in a structured way and ask the individual body, like in this order, if there's these disruptions, and we kind of build upon itself and save these things. And so fibromyalgia is one of those things where there's not always a known cause for it. So it could be a lot of different things that could be triggering it.
Right.
And so the cool thing is that just by going and moving through the work of this, we might be able to address some of that, and then it could potentially dissipate.
That's cool.
You know, there's, again, no guarantees, and everybody's right, different.
If you're trying to look it up and you remembered Quest, but you didn't want Quest Diagnostics, what would be the other keyword? Because I definitely won't remember what the acronym stands for.
Well, and there's not really very much information online
about it. But there's like clinics out in LA where you can go to it, right?
No. Oh. There's only one practitioner right now who does that. And I can give her name out, but I don't know if she would want it publicly out. So that
well,
could
you
be
don't
something
have to.
I would
I'll,
give you on
I'll
the
talk
side.
To you about
yeah.
it later. Sure. Yeah. All right. Let's go through the WOW scale real quick.
WOW scale.
The WOW scale stands for Wait or Willie.
Okay.
It's a 5-question quiz, and at the end of the quiz, I will give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the WOW scale?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes to all.
Okay. Ghosts?
Yes.
Do you have a ghost story?
I used to have a reoccurring dream of ghosts, but I don't have any personal experiences with it.
What about, I just love hearing ghost stories. What about Bigfoot?
Yes.
Really?
It wasn't something that was on my radar very much, but I have a friend who really believes in Bigfoot, and she told me a story, and I was like, okay, I believe you.
I only was surprised because like 90% of the people on here don't believe in Bigfoot. And so I'm excited that you do. Okay, 4th question. Illuminati.
Yes. I don't know specifics about them, but I do believe that there are people up at the top.
Yeah. You can kind of define it your own. Illuminati has become, I don't know, a pejorative? I don't know what to call it. But all right, last question. The multiverse. Like, do you believe in different dimensions? And
100%.
Wow. All right. So you're a straight up 5. you're a super Willy. He's excited. He hasn't had one in a while.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Okay. I'm really excited to get to this because you've done charts for us and stuff like that. But before we get into it, Willy, why don't you hit us with the topic?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Human Design. It's a system that synthesizes principles from astrology, the I Ching, Kabbalah, and the chakra system to provide insights into a person's unique energy and life purpose. Developed by Ruhu in 1987, I probably bastardized that. It offers a personalized chart called a body graph, which maps out how individuals are energetically wired to navigate their lives. By understanding one's human design, individuals can align with their true nature, make better decisions, and live more authentically. Our guest, Carrie, has provided charts for both me and Wade. Will we get the info we need to align with ourselves and finish our lives strong? Are we too stubborn to listen? Or will we just be entertained tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi?
Ra-Uruhu. Yeah.
I would say we should just do a quick overview. There are basically 5 major categories.
Auric types. Yeah.
And within that, there's so many different specific things to each person. But can you go over the 5 overall
types?
Yeah.
So there's the manifester, who is the type of person that initiates in life. Their auras are very strong and nobody can really penetrate their auras. It's like, they're here to make shit happen, essentially. Then you've got the generators. And I should say manifestors are about 9% of the population. You have generators who are about 70% of the population, and they're the worker bees of the world. They are here to respond. Within the generator type, there's a subcategory called manifesting generator. And it's a 30-30 or 35-35 split of the manifesting generator versus generator. It's kind of a cross between the manifester and the generator. And so the manifesting generator has an ability to communicate a little bit more so than the generator. And they have, I think it's like a little quicker ability to respond. Like they still have to wait to respond, but they can respond a little bit quicker than maybe the generator would. Then you
and responding is responding to what life gives you. It's
like exactly. Then there is the projector, and that's about 20% of the population. And projectors are here to guide, and they have to usually wait for an invitation in order to be seen and heard. A lot of times projectors get ignored, or they feel bitter because people can't see or hear them.
Oh my God. I don't even have to hear anymore. I'm definitely a projector.
And then the final category is reflectors. And reflectors only make up 1% of the population. And reflectors are here to be the judges of humanity. They mirror everybody else. And so they're almost the canary in the coal mine, I guess, is kind of a common phrase, because they go into environments, and depending on how they are responding, if they're happy, that means it's a good environment. If they're sick or unhappy, then it's a bad environment. And so they're just mirroring everything.
Can you just list the five again?
Yes. Manifestor, generator, manifesting generator, projector, and reflector.
It's funny because I think we're probably similar. I know that birthdays are close. I know I'm more on the cusp in the classical astrology way. You know, we're both creative. I don't think either of us are initiators, because in a crowd, sure, I'll be the first to dance, but that's not really life experience. That's more just entertainment. I think that we're both manifesting generators. I definitely could lean towards a projector, but I don't think so. I feel like I definitely have talked to a lot of people and given advice individually, but like, I don't think that there's an individual thing. That's more of a group thing, the projector. So I don't think I'm that. I think we're both manifesting generators.
Okay. Does we want to give a guess? Or?
Yeah, I do. But I can't remember. What's the last one again? That's the reflector.
So reflectors are people who, they're kind of run by the program. They don't actually have a good sense of self per se. They have, and I can get into it.
I think, okay, say no more. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm a reflector, because I don't fucking have a personality. And I'll bet Willie is the first one. I'll bet he's the 1%er, the manifester.
Manifester.
I'm swinging for the fences here.
So, Willie, you were very accurate with yourself. You are a manifesting generator. And Wade, you're a generator.
I'm the worst one. That's the worst one.
No, they're not. They're not. None of them are good or bad.
No, they are. And I got the worst
everything,
one.
Everything, you know, it's one of those things where, I don't know, I really resonated with this system. I'll tell you. You guys probably have no idea what my
what are you
type would be.
You're gonna be the best one.
I'm the reflector.
Oh, you're the one I thought I was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I said I had no personality. That ended up being a diss. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Because there's and one of the centers in the chart is like your G center, your identity center. So yeah, some people have that defined and some people have that undefined. You actually have yours defined. So you do technically have an identity. Maybe it's just you haven't quite found it yet. Yeah. Do you want me to just kind of like pull up your charts and show you?
Sure, yeah. I guess. I mean,
walk you through a little bit of it.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay.
Now, are you familiar with the either the Kabbalah or the I Ching or the chakra system or astrology? What did you know about or lean into before?
Well, interestingly, I kind of started learning human design and astrology at the same time, and I found it. So my journey, you know, I've kind of been on the pathway of trying to figure out who I am, what I want out of this life. We go into this grind, we're in this rat race, and it felt so unfulfilling. So I started exploring and seeing what is beyond that. And I went to something called this Conscious Life Expo. And I had this like crazy consciousness expansion happen when I was there. And then that kind of led me down this path of getting a little more curious into human design and astrology. And then I ended up meeting somebody, that Quest practitioner. I met her in a social gathering, and something in me was saying, I need to learn this. And she was telling me, oh, it's really good to look in your charts. Like, I'll have a friend look into your charts to see if you're going to be good at doing this. And I said, oh, okay, cool. Well, she never ended up getting back to me as far as like what charts to look into. So then I just went crazy and started going into my own charts and trying to figure it out on my own. And so then I started doing that and I got hooked. And once I realized that I was a reflector, everything just resonated with me. It was like, oh my gosh, no wonder I feel so alien in this world, because that's what reflectors are like. We're very different from the rest of the population. So
is there a way to, like, you realize you're a reflector and like, did you kind of like, how do you apply it? I guess once you know what you are, like what's the application process, you know?
So that's kind of what I'll go over a little bit is really the main things that you need to know about yourself is what your aura type is and what your strategy and authority is. And so this system is to help you kind of tap into who you are and help guide you through life on an individual basis. So right now we have society telling us everything that we're supposed to be doing, right? Like we're kind of sucked into that. This system is supposed to help the individual figure out how to make choices in their life that are in alignment. And actually, maybe before I go over the charts, I can show you this chart, which is kind of an interesting thing that talks about what it all means. So the thing about human design is that it's based off of your day of birth, time of birth, and location. And that is considered the personality crystal. And then there's also another set of calculations that are calculated 88 days prior to the day that you were born. And that is considered your design crystal. And then we have something called the magnetic monopole. And so this illustration here kind of gives this analogy of the fact that who we think we are, the personality, the mind, is not what's actually driving us in our life. It's supposed to be taking a backseat to everything. So it's considered the passenger in this car. And so the design crystal is considered this car. And then the magnetic monopole, which is basically what is being magnetized to us and just like the natural path, the natural current of how the universe works, that's what's driving us. So that's the driver. Then we have the car, which is the design crystal. That's our bodies. And then the mind is the personality crystal. The gist of it is we need to get our mind out of what we're doing. We got to stop overthinking things. We have to take backseat and start observing our life and being able to make decisions based on how our bodies feel and do it based on what our strategy and authority is, which I'll get into that as I show you your charts.
I understand that the vehicle comes from the 88 days before you're born thing. Where does the magnetic monopole come from?
So that comes from your identity center. So that's your, maybe that's considered more of like the magnetic, like the electromagnetic aspect of it. It's what connects the personality and the design crystal. Let's see, the vehicle represents the design crystal and the driver is the magnetic monopole. The personality crystal, or who we think we are, is neither the vehicle nor the driver. The personality crystal has no idea where to go or how to get there. It is simply the passenger. The passenger is meant to be quiet and relaxed and to watch the scenery go by instead of fighting with the driver for control of steering the wheel. The human design system's tool for living make the passenger comfortable in the back seat of the vehicle so it can sit back and enjoy the ride. Which I guess that didn't answer your question, but
Hey, wait. What was the acting class that we took that was all about? It was a myth. Was
well, the teacher's name was Sam Christensen.
Yeah. Okay. I only bring that up because what I loved about it was we both have taken this class where you took it, right? I forget.
Well, I took like a really kind of a short version of it.
So, this class was designed to figure out what your myth was, your connection to a society based off of like Joseph Campbell, different myths that people play within a society. And the coolest thing about the class was long before we took it, they used to go to the airport and have strangers observe you and tell you things about their self. The idea was who you think you are is not who you are to a society. Mm-hmm. So I like this idea of the driver versus the passenger, because it's like, yeah, like whoever you are in your head, it is just not how people see you. And if you can connect to that, very valuable.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of wild how it's like, yeah, the personality is how we see ourselves and the design is kind of like how other people see us. But it's also kind of taps into what's in the conscious mind versus the unconscious mind as well.
Yeah.
All right. Let me pull up your charts here. So Willie, there's another aspect of this, which is considered the profile. So not only are you a manifesting generator, but you are also an investigator martyr. Another way to put it is you're a 1-3. And so the first line is the investigator. You probably see yourself as somebody who likes to research a lot, is my guess.
Yeah.
And then do you also find that you like to discover things through trial and error? Like you have to experience life by doing it yourself?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. So that would be considered part of your design. So that's something good to know about yourself. And so with being a manifesting generator, your strategy is to respond. And so it says, even though we've been brought up to believe that we must always initiate to just do it, you should listen to your sacral response, which is in the form of a simple yes or no. This is how you could formulate the question. A yes response could be felt as if your gut opens up to embrace and pulls you towards the thing you are presented with. A no could be felt like a small contraction or your gut pulling away from the question. Have you ever tried to tap into your gut and tried to feel like it, like, do you ever get gut reactions or?
No, I haven't. And I my problem is I.
Well, you like cheese. Like cheese a lot.
I'm taking probiotics. No, I think my anxiety has always made me step back a little bit too from doing things outside of my comfort zone.
So you probably, your gut reactions are kind of mixed in with like anxiety and fear. So you don't get a true answer kind of a thing.
Yeah. And I don't trust my gut because I know that my fear runs a lot of stuff.
Okay. Interesting.
Here's a terrible example. I was by myself at night editing last night. We had a guest recently who heard a voice in his head said, go outside, you know, and he went outside and this big fan fell and it would have killed him. So last night I was asking myself, if I heard a voice say, get out of the house, my first thing would be to question it. Like, what about my family? Like what's happening? Like what? And I just kept going down this path of like, would I listen to a voice that I heard or would I just debate with it the whole time?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, one of the things that I always talk to people about when they have, so like I said, your strategy is to respond as far as like waiting for things to come to you. And then your authority is your sacral, which is your gut reaction, which is like waiting, like having that contracting or expanding feeling with your gut. But a lot of times what I recommend is to practice this by asking yourself yes and no questions when, like, for just like very mundane things, like, is this the shirt I should wear today? Is the sky blue? Is my name Willie? Like ask yourself these easy, simple questions and see what your gut reacts to. So then it kind of, you can practice like tapping into that ability.
I will say this. I used to flip a coin to figure out what I wanted to do, but it was never the flip. It was my reaction to the flip. Because I'm like, you know, flip a coin all day and you're going to do something you don't want to do. If I flip a, because like I felt impartial, and I'm like, if I flip the coin and I was happy with the answer, then go with it. If I wasn't happy, then go with that. So that's pretty funny. That was me trying to get my gut out of in situations.
Oh, interesting. So it's like it's kind of baseline there. It's just a matter of listening to it in the right way, I guess. So yeah. So that, I mean, those are kind of the major things for the very basics in human design. And I should say that. Again, I'm just a hobbyist. I don't really know how to read charts properly. So this is just take this with a grain of salt. And I'm learning a lot of this through an app called Neutrino Design. So if anybody else is interested in this, they can download this app and get all the same information that I'm getting. And also there's a book called The Definitive Book of Human Design, The Science of Differentiation. So there's a giant book that I've also been reading to learn about this.
Well, how giant is it?
Yeah, it's pretty giant.
Yeah.
It's like a textbook.
It is a textbook. Yeah. Let me read you, Willie, what your life purpose is, at least according to this app, and tell me if you resonate with it or not. So it says your life purpose is driven by a strong need to be productive and establish secure relationships. You possess a natural inclination towards being busy, but it's crucial to ensure that you don't lose sight of your soul's priorities. To fulfill your life purpose, you must prioritize activities that align with your passion and values. It's essential to listen to your innermost desires and ensure that your actions are consistent with your true self. By doing so, you can achieve a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from doing what you love. In addition to being productive, you have a natural ability to connect with others and establish secure relationships. By fostering meaningful connections, you create a sense of safety and trust in your personal and professional relationships.
I mean, yeah, that like describes me to a T.
So it's really interesting how exact this can really get. And it's like, as like the more that you kind of work towards your design and respond in the way that your design allows it, the more you start to embody your life purpose. And then there's like even deeper things that you can get into, which I think are super fun. Like
motivation, fear. Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious because, you know, with you having a lot of anxiety, do you find that fear is like one of your biggest motivating factors?
It is, sadly, I haven't found how to use that as a way to generate money, but yeah, I mean, you know, I really am more afraid to not make it than to make it. And to make it to me is just to make enough money to not stress. Anyways.
Well, I mean, according to your design, you need that fear to motivate you. It's like it's kind of an underlying thing.
Really, if you don't sell a TV show, I'm gonna kill Moose. Does that help?
So there, I don't know. And then would you find, Willie, that you like to have a sense of touch, or like you feel like you know things based on touching it?
I definitely do like to touch things. I definitely have asked people if I could touch fabrics that they're wearing, or I know that the most lost I've been on drugs, the most set or anxiety, if I'm having a panic attack, the one thing that can take me out of my panic attack is to like touch someone else's skin. It like just centers me.
Touch cognition is actually a really cool thing. And like, if you were to like do a deep dive into all of this and really kind of work through your inner self and do a lot of, I guess what they say is shadow work and kind of lean into your design mechanics. Some people have the ability to actually touch something and know like where it came from. Like they have a knowing just by touching it, which is kind of a really cool gift in my opinion.
That's like what's that Stephen King one with the guy who talks like this? What's his name? Walken. Christopher Walken, Stephen King. It's like Quicksilver. Is it Quicksilver? I think it's Quicksilver. You guys ever see that?
Mm-mm.
He touches things and then he concedes.
I know. I've seen it back in the day. I'll watch it again.
It's weird. It's a weird movie.
I don't know, but I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I would love to have that ability to touch something and just know, be able to see things from that.
Go scroll back down to there was that weird like PR.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What is that? PLRDRR?
So that's basically saying that, okay, so you've got your personality crystals that are in the black. The black numbers are the time that you were born, and then your design is in the red. And so that's the 88 days prior to being born. You see the arrows. And so you have the personality, you've got a left arrow, so that would be the L. And then you have the right node, it's the R, right? And then you have the mind and the design node are both right facing. So that's the PLRDRR. And so those definitely have meanings. It goes a little bit deeper. It's the fact that Willie, you'd be more of a focused kind of let me bring it up. So the personality sun is a more strategic mind. Left-oriented arrow means that your mind is strategic. It refers to a cognitive style that is characterized by a systemic and analytical approach to problem solving. People with a strategic mind tend to be very goal-oriented and focused on achieving specific objectives. They often use logic, data analysis, and critical thinking skills to make informed decisions. Strategic thinkers are skilled at breaking down complex problems into smaller, more manageable pieces and then developing a plan of action to solve them. They are adept at identifying potential obstacles and developing contingency plans to address them. They are often skilled at anticipating and planning for future events and changes. So left arrow is more of a masculine energy, and that's what society is based on right now. The right arrow is more feminine energy and kind of where the world is headed. And so you kind of think of like left is like more action-based, more strategic, more focused. And then the right is more like a peripheral, like holistic overall view, more passive, more just kind of flowing, like the feminine energy versus the masculine energy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing, Willie, that you have that is the masculine is your personality mind. And so that's where it's like, you probably work a little bit better when you make lists and write things down.
Yep. I still need to write things down. I have too many lists, but when I'm working good.
He writes down a bunch of stuff and then loses it forever, never finds it again. He's been writing down everything that you've been saying, and it'll go into a pile that he will never look at again.
But I will say I connect to things that I write down. So like it helps me remember more. But you're right, dude. I have piles of notes. But I think we should move on to Wade. Is there any other closing things to say about me?
I don't think with yours. No. I mean, did you have any questions for me with your chart at all?
I feel like my problem with life is that I have been just letting things come my way my whole life. I've always just been along for the ride, and I haven't done too many things to take action for what I want, what I need, what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I do connect to everything that you've put forward so far. And I'm just like, what's the best way? And it sucks because I'm like, it shouldn't be about making money, you know? And I don't agree with society and being a part of a society that's just run by corporations, but I need to be more successful with my, I don't want to say career, but just the decisions I make, I guess to just say to make money. You know, I know that that's so specific, but I'm like, I've done a good job of connecting with people and being creative and taking opportunities.
Well, I mean, outside of human design, have you contemplated trying to manifest it at all? Like write down things that you want to see and then see if you can try and manifest it?
For me, manifesting, it usually works when I think smaller. And you know, it's like, don't ask for money, ask to be creative. And I'll get opportunities to be creative.
I think for your type, you're supposed to actually be more general with your asks. And so when you get specific, I believe that I'm correct on this, but yeah, I want to say that you're definitely more of the, you have to be more general when you want to manifest. So try to think more. I mean, I guess, I don't know, but you have to play with it. Like that's the whole thing about with human design is it's all an experiment. And that's like the first and foremost thing. It's like, it's not the law. It's not the rule. It's see what you can do with your design and see how it helps you. And with being a generator, you are meant to be a worker bee in this world. But in order to get the things that you want, you have to also let the universe provide it to you. And so you have to be, you're waiting for somebody to initiate you in order to make it happen. So it's putting yourself, I guess, in the right environment, in the right spaces in order to allow for somebody else to tell you what to do, I guess, in order to make it happen.
Definitely describes my whole career.
That sucks though, because I'm a generator too. Is that why none of our projects work out? Or wait, what am I? A generator?
Yeah, you're a generator. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's a manifesting generator. So he can communicate things a little bit more clearly because he has his defined throat.
This is why none of our projects work out because I've been trying to get Willie to do stuff, but I'm just like a stupid worker bee. I don't know anything. That's what you're saying.
No, it is not that at all. Everybody has their place and everybody there's like pieces of the puzzle and it's finding the right piece to connect with in order to make things happen. So maybe it's finding somebody who's a manifester who has ideas in order to help move you forward, right? It's just connecting with the right people, I think, in my opinion, at least. And that's the thing about with these charts too. It's like, and I didn't really go into like describing the chart so much, which I probably should have. Like you see, you've got all of these numbers that are within these centers. So you have 9 centers and the 9 centers are based on the chakra system. Then you have these numbers that are called gates, and the gates are associated with the I Ching and the 64 gates of the I Ching, which you've got the I Ching numbers on the outside of the mandala in that circle. But then you have they correspond within the centers of the chakra systems as well. And so some gates are defined and some gates are undefined. So any that are circled in black are considered defined, and any of the colors within the centers are called defined centers. And so what happens is that because this is based on energy, when you connect with people, you might find somebody. So let's say we've got Willie has gate 47 defined up in the Ajna, the second center from the top. You might find somebody who has the 64. And so then you end up creating this channel, just like there's a channel of the 20 to 34 that's down below, or the 29 to 46, which is the red and the yellow centers. The red line that is between those two are considered, it's called a channel. And so when we connect with people, everybody has different gates that are defined. And so those gates that only have one side it's only halfway filled, it's looking for somebody who has the other side of that to connect with. And so you might feel a stronger connection, or they say an electromagnetic connection to people who complete those channels for you. That's the beauty of this. It's like you can actually compare charts and see which connections, which channels are being made between different people. And so it's like, I think, you know, it just goes to show how much we need other people, right? Like we can't do everything on our own. We have to be, you know, around other people to pair up with them electromagnetically in order to be able to get this world moving forward, right? So
what about like narcissists who just take everything? Do they, what is that? What does that chart look like?
Oh, I mean, that I can't tell you, but there's also something called being in the self and being in the not self. And so there are people who, like if a narcissist, for example, probably wouldn't even look at anything like this because they don't want to improve themselves, right? This is all about helping the individual become true to who they are and to be able to work their mechanics within the rest of the world. And it's allowing us to love ourselves and also love the people around us and be able to accept them for who they are, because sometimes something in their mechanics just has them be a certain way. And it's just, that's how they were designed. And so I've definitely learned to accept people for who they are based on what their design is. And it's kind of a beautiful thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we'll switch over to Wade. You can see
it's
how
gonna
your charts...
It's going
to
talk about what a piece of shit I am. I just know
it. Oh my gosh. It'll be interesting. I'm going to read you your life purpose according to this. And I'll be curious.
Great. I would love to know. I would love to know my purpose.
But as you can see, it's a little different from Willie's. You have three more centers defined compared to Willie. Willie had the kind of brown colored one is the throat. Then the yellow is the identity or G center. And then the red is the sacral center, or the square red one is the sacral center. Wade, you have the splenic center, which is the left triangle, and the solar plexus, which is the right triangle, and also the heart, which is the red triangle, and that's also considered the ego.
I'm loaded, man. If this were a skill tree in a video game, I'd be so much better than Willie.
It's like D&D for life, right?
And what's really interesting, Wade, is that your profile is a more unique profile. Yours is considered the opportunist investigator, the 4-1. And now the thing about profiles is that there are people who have incarnated in this lifetime who are here for personal reasons. And then there are people who are here for transpersonal reasons. They're meant to help others. Like the transpersonal is kind of like clearing the karma of the people who are here for themselves. And now having the 4-1 profile, you're actually the bridge between the two. So not only are you here for yourself, but you're here for others as well. And so, and then I am going to point out that, so you have the same strategy as Willie is to respond. So it's kind of same exact thing of like, somebody has to initiate you. But your authority is a little bit different because you have an emotional authority. I'm just going to read this because it's easier. It says, sure. The emotional authority is the strongest authority from all seven, meaning if you have solar plexus defined, you must have an emotional authority no matter what. Half of the world population have an emotional authority, and most of them make decisions before reaching emotional clarity. You must wait for emotional clarity before making a decision. There is no truth in the present moment. Truth is revealed in time. If you are required to make an immediate decision, do not rush. At the very least, sleep over it. Another important aspect in the solar plexus authority is the four types of waves. Understanding your waves is very important because depending on those waves, you see reality in a different way. For example, when you are at your high, overexcited, and feeling great, you might rush to make a decision, which later you feel terrible about. You can only understand the reality when your waves go into a neutral position and you see clearly. Make decisions by the phrase, the morning is wiser than the evening. And you have what is called the source wave. And it says this wave is stable until triggered by someone. The 59-6 channel is very powerful and is the source of all waves coming out of the solar plexus. Because it is the only channel connecting the solar plexus to the sacral center, it penetrates the aura of others, making them want to tap into this powerful channel. Wade, would you feel that you get waves of emotion?
Yeah, well, okay. Here's what I took away from that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty even keeled for the most part. But there have been a lot of times where I've like read an email that I sent like an hour ago and was like, what the fuck was I thinking? Which is basically what that is describing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when something agitates you, or somebody, mostly when somebody agitates you, it's a matter of not allowing yourself to react in that moment. It's allowing your body to calm down before you make any kind of decision or any kind of reaction, because a lot of times it's going to not turn out the way that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the same thing could also go for, like, if you're on a high. So like if you are like really excited and things are going really well, and then you make a decision when you're at the high of the wave, then that can come back and bite you later on. Yeah. As well.
I always agree to go to functions and then I don't want to.
So yeah, so it's just being more conscious of how you're interacting with people and tapping into how your body wants you to react and respond in these situations. And then also one thing I didn't mention on Willie's is that when things are going well and things are kind of on the right path, your feeling that you should be feeling would be satisfaction. And then when things are not going as planned, then your feeling is frustration. And they call that the not self theme, because it's you're not working within your mechanics. You're kind of doing things based on what society says or the conditioning that you have. And so when you start living life in your not self, then you're more likely to feel frustrated versus when you're working with yourself, then you're going to feel more satisfied.
Yeah, but the problem is they won't let me work within myself. They keep stopping me. So I'm frustrated all the time.
So wait, who keeps stopping you?
Society.
Oh, society.
The man.
Well, yeah, but that's when, you know, we all rise up, right? So hard. I know, especially when we want to make money.
This is exhausting. It's basically telling me to never trust my instincts, right?
Well, no.
I always have to wait.
No, that's not it at all. It's just tapping into where your instincts are at. You'll have these waves when you're in that neutral emotional wave. That's the best time to make a decision. And it's just being able to know when you're in a low versus neutral versus a high.
Yeah.
But then you also have that sacral response as well. And so you also can check in with your gut. And so you can ask yourself yes and no questions. You kind of have a double, it's a double-edged thing, because not only do you have to worry about your emotional wave, but then you also have to check in with your gut. So it's just learning to tap into feeling into yourself and knowing what's right for you versus letting other outside factors.
Like a catch 22. How am I going to? No wonder life's been so hard for me. Stacked against me.
Oh my gosh. Definitely not stacked against you. Well, and then I'll tell you after I finish going through yours, I'll tell you what my strategy and authority is. And then we'll see what you think of yours.
Okay.
Also, one thing I'm going to mention too is that, Wade, you have something called a triple split. So if you look at all of the centers, none of them, they're not all continuously flowing. So you have channels that will connect two of them, and then another channel connecting another two, and then another channel connecting another two. So you have, you're considered a triple split. So you seem to work better when you have people around you, because then you have people who are going to fill in those gaps and they're going to bridge those splits, and then you'll feel a little bit more whole. They'll recommend that somebody who's a triple split goes and does work in a cafe or a restaurant, or like just being around other people. So then you can be a little bit more productive and you can borrow other people's energies to be more focused, I guess.
That makes sense.
Okay, so let's go ahead and read your life purpose here.
Oh, God.
So yours is the fixed fate of empowering. And it says, the primary objective of your life purpose is to achieve both financial and emotional security, which will ultimately enable you to fulfill your aspirations. In order to accomplish these long-term objectives, it is imperative that you follow your strategy and authority. By diligently following these inner guidelines, you will find that cultivating and nurturing romantic relationships plays a crucial role in your overall happiness and well-being. This deep-rooted desire for contentment and stability serves as the cornerstone of your personal empowerment journey. For instance, as you embark on this path of self-discovery and growth, you may come to recognize that a meaningful and supportive romantic partnership is not only a source of joy, but also a catalyst for your own self-development. As you work together to build a solid foundation for your future, you will be better equipped to navigate the complexities of life and ultimately realize your full potential.
This couldn't be worse news for me.
Why is that?
Well, I hate people. I don't ever want to spend any time with people. Oh, God. I'm doomed.
Well, it's something to experiment with and see if it makes life a little bit easier for you. That's all we can ask for, right? Is just to get a little, just to alleviate some of the pressures of life, right?
Hey, who's that?
This is Callie.
Callie.
I guess she wanted to make an appearance.
Yeah, mine's over here, but she hates it when I grab her.
Yeah. All right. So just a couple other things that I'll point out. So just like Willie had touch cognition, yours is inner vision. What that means is that you hold answers within yourself, within your mind's eye, essentially. So it's kind of tapping into that. And so you can actually pair your inner vision with your sacral and emotional response to really get true clarity on decision-making and what you want out of this world and what is going to lead you down the right path. And I thought it was interesting too, that both of you had valleys as your environment, which I believe you guys are living. Both of you are in Los Angeles, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are both in your correct environment, it seems. But one is, I think, Willie, you're wide valleys, and Wade, you have narrow valleys. And so this one, it says your correct environment is crossroads where different people converge. Information strangers meet. You want to be on the same level with other people. You prefer ground floors and lowland with constant external activity. A business center with its skyscrapers is not your environment. You prefer old quarters or a cozy private sector for a home or an office. You enjoy activity, crowds of people, and parks. Narrow streets are suitable for you, filled with various delicious smells and sounds, which you can look at from the window, following the ever-changing picture or walk along them, periodically sitting down in some street cafe. You prefer being active in the exchange of information, actively trying out everything the street has to offer, as well as offering something yourself.
That sounds right. What's the difference between narrow and wide?
I definitely hate.
I mean, it feels like Disneyland was built. So do I. Dude, I get anxiety when I have to go to like Century City or something. It's just I hate this.
So I think narrow is more about like being in it and being like definitely like wanting to interact with it. And wide is more like observing it.
It's funny because it's, you know, the difference I see is wide open areas are suitable, like farms and fields. Like, honestly, if I can be in a farm or a field, I love it so much. Like, we go to this Underwood Farms to pick berries sometimes, and just to be out on the farm is just like, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. But yeah, so that's kind of it. It's being able to interact with people is the narrow, and kind of viewing things from the outside in a more open space is the more wide.
I feel like I don't know how to apply any of this. What am I supposed to do?
You can look into it. I can't give you the answer because it's a very individual thing. And I don't, and I'm not an official chart reader. I mean, there are people out there who can definitely read a chart for you and give you, I want to show you my chart. So this is what a reflector's chart looks like. So everything is wide open. So basically, reflectors are conditioned by everything around them, all the people, all the planets. I kind of have to base everything off of the transits. And so this is showing where the planets are right now. And so I get a little bit of definition through the planets, but it's like, I don't have that definition. Like, you guys have those defined centers. That's who you are. That's like, that's something that will stay with you your entire life. And for me, the only thing that that is consistent is the inconsistencies, essentially. You know, you guys, you're like I was telling you about, you have the sacral authority or emotional authority, and you are meant to respond and just kind of wait on it. Or, you know, you have to be a little bit more patient than what you are now. But for a reflector, we have zero inner authority. And so in order to make a decision, we're supposed to wait 28 and a half days to make. Yeah.
But so all your connecting lines require someone else to connect that line, right? Require is a hard word, but.
Yeah. So there's that, but then we also base it on the moon cycle. And so
you gotta, when you go to a ice cream parlor, you gotta go every 28 days, and then you just pick what you liked the last time you were there, right?
Any big decision has to wait that time. But like, I mean, obviously that's ridiculous. What
if you because if you get a job offer or something, you can't wait.
Like people have played around with this and have said that, you know what, I'll give you an answer in 28 days. And sometimes, sometimes that backfires. And I wouldn't even say backfires. I would say then that job was not meant to be, you know, because if the job is not willing to wait the 28 days for you, then it's just not meant for you. It's a lot easier to do something like that when you have a little bit more financial stability. I don't know. It's like before, like I ended up waiting the 28 days to decide if I was going to do the school, the energy school. And then I thought it was very apropos that when we arranged to do this podcast, that Willie said, okay, like the end of June. And I was like, it was about 28 days for me. So it really worked out. It worked out perfectly.
Right. That's funny.
So Willie, what do you think? I mean,
my experience through all this is I deeply connected to everything you said about me. And I tried to connect to everything you said about Wade to just see if, like, you know, with the horoscopes, it's easy to, if you take away the Aries or whatever, all the different signs, and try to read somebody's horoscope as your own. I always try to be like, would this work for me today? If you know it's somebody else's. And a lot of times I feel like there's vague enough to where like, yeah, that could be me.
Yeah.
And it was weird to hear how different they were. And then I didn't connect to what you said about Wade at all. So that was fascinating.
Did you connect to what she said about me for me? Because she nailed you. But mine feels so kind of like internal and tortured that I don't know that you would be able to see it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It made me uncomfortably go like, that's for his mind. and I say that because I have never sent an email out.
An email that you did, that you're really, I felt like everybody did this. Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah. I'm always like, whenever I'm always like, let's rewrite it, take out all emotion and see if that works.
But it's not even that. It's like, what she said, like if I'm feeling real good and I put something, whatever, if it's an email or text, it does change.
High. Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's impossible. So even when I feel good, I'm not allowed to do what I want.
Well, it's just that what you want, it's only temporarily there. Like what you want will show its truth in the neutral emotion.
Right.
So it's just something to I guess feel into a little bit and you know, there's
information. Willie got easy
there.
One. Willie just got like manifest it and then you'll get it. And mine is like walk on a fucking razor's edge your entire life. Right.
That is definitely not it at all. gotta have the optimism in there, you know?
Okay. Well, that's not really of my nature either. But fascinating. It's given me a lot to think about. Willie, what do you think? I mean, like, she kind of already told you stuff that you knew, it seemed, right?
A lot of times I'm so disconnected from myself anyways. You know, she mentioned about me just like needing to feel busy to like, I constantly am busy and I feel productive when I'm busy, but I just need to mix in these other things. And so it's always good to hear when I hear this, it's good to see myself from outside of myself. It did seem very accurate to me. Mm-hmm. And so it allows me to like take a step back and go like, oh yeah, like throughout all this, while I'm keeping busy with stuff, I need to make sure that I am prioritizing and, you know, I think manifesting is prioritizing too. I think I need to manifest more.
And I have to start dating. which is the worst. Oh, it's the worst.
It's the worst because dating is, a lot of things are designed not for people to find people.
I think online dating has ruined a lot.
It's torture. It's the worst.
Yeah. Just changing up what you're used to doing, you know, and experimenting and seeing if anything sticks.
I know. I will say that my only online date I went on was is my wife.
Oh wow.
I'm very like lame in the way that I used to reach out to people, and I was fine with that because I'm like, you have to be used to me being lame. So most people didn't even respond anything.
Well, because you called yourself lame. Nobody wants to date someone who calls themselves lame.
No, I just like reaching out too hard. Like, oh, here's me in a nutshell. How do you do?
Well, and I heard for men, it's a lot different too. Like it's a game of numbers for men, right? Because it's like women have so many choices a lot of times that men are just like, it's really hard. You don't know how to actually get the interaction, because I think most women just tend to ignore most men. So it's a hard thing for sure.
Yeah. You get a crush on a picture and then you never hear anything.
It sucks. It's awful. Okay. I didn't think this was going to bum me out.
I'm sorry.
No. Don't be sorry.
It's supposed to be uplifting. And
it's when I was born. It's my mother's fault.
It was while she was driving 88 days before you were born.
All right. Well, we should wrap it up. So thank you so much for being here and doing this. And we're going to continue the conversation on Real Life More Sci-Fi. If you want to continue listening to that, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And do you want to, I don't know if you have any like socials or anything you want to shout out. It doesn't seem like you do.
This is totally not related to anything we talked about, but I am a photo retoucher. And so if anybody, and there's my cat again. If anybody is in search of a photo retoucher, my website is photonuvo.com. That's photonuvo.com.
Great. Like headshots? You can do headshots?
I do headshots. I do a lot of commercial work, e-commerce. I mean, pretty much most things, most photos.
Cool. Okay.
Hey, I'm interested to look into this more, and thank you for taking your time to
Thank you for
us to, like, throw us together. Yeah.
And putting it all together and stuff like that. I feel like this is something we should have paid you for, but we won't.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's fun to chat about something that I have a lot of interest in right now.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for you. Have fun in school, and everyone listening, look into this if it's interesting to you. And we will see you next time. Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Real Life Sci-Fi.